this is for fixing the slides for me. When I put in my slides, they all turn all purple. I don't understand why. Okay, now it's back to white, my favorite color. Let's pray. We pray for those, Father, who are the victims of the mass shootings. It's terrible. It happened too often. It happened 3 times in the past 1 week. It's getting more and more. Number and number. We don't know how to respond anymore. I would pray that I wake up this country from paralysis. Wake up the politicians, the political leaders, different parties, that we should take actions. May you have mercy on this country. We suffer from this more than anyone else in this world. So may you have mercy on us. Take away our self-righteousness and help us to work on this situation. Pray for this church. Pray for quite a few of us in Sonoma right now, attending a retreat. Pray that they will receive your word there too, through the guest speaker. And pray for their safe trip back here. And pray for those who are traveling, who are on vacation. And again, we pray for your travel mercy. I submit this today's message to you. May you speak to us through me. And may I say everything clearly, pronounce everything correctly. May you convict our heart. May you. And I pray for those who will be hearing the recording of this message. I pray that you speak through the recording as well. Bless us and be with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Right, so this is a famous idiom in the apple of the eye. The beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. That we heard this idiom a lot. It's actually from the Bible, believe it or not. And we're going to find out who says this, why he says this, and what it means to us. Okay, some recap. I think Daniel did a good job last Sunday introducing the background of Zechariah, so I'm not trying to repeat here. We have finished the book of Haggai, and Zechariah basically is his contemporary, who spoke pretty much during the same time to encourage the Jewish returnees from Babylon to start to kick up the project of rebuilding the temple. Recap of the last chapter that Daniel preached. His main message, if you remember, is return to the Lord. So he reminded Israelites of their forefathers' mistakes, and that he asked the children not to repeat what their fathers had done, seeing the punishment that their forefathers had received, the exile. And now is the time for them to repent and return to the Lord. Then he gave a series of visions. Chapter 1 mentioned 2 visions. Today we're going to talk about the third vision. The first vision in chapter 1 is about a horseman. And the second vision is about 4 horns and 4 craftsmen. 4 horns meaning the foreign powers surrounding Israel and giving Israel a lot of troubles in the past. And God's now raising 4 craftsmen, basically 4 blacksmiths. And the horn can be referred to the horns of the 4 corners of the altar, and they are made of iron. And blacksmith is the only person who can break the iron. So the metaphor here means that these four craftsmen, wherever they are, is going to break the fallen powers that have been persecuting Israel. So these are the 2 visions in the last chapter. And today we're going to talk about the 3rd vision. And all these visions, I think in total 8 of them, were received during the night. So visions of the night from Zechariah. Today we're going to talk about the third vision. And here's what he said. And I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So Zechariah saw this man in his vision, and he said, "Where are you going?" he said to the man. And he said to me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." Why is this guy measuring Jerusalem? And here's the answer. We're going to find out. And behold, the angel who talked with me came forward. Another angel came forward to meet him and said to him, so now there are two angels. So one angel said to another, "Run," and said to the man who was holding the measuring line. And this is what you should say to him. "Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it." So apparently the man was trying to measure Jerusalem to build a wall surrounding it to protect it. Usually in region nearest, a fortified city needs to have walls to protect it from invaders. So the Jewish people may be thinking about that right now. According to this vision of Zechariah, they should not build a wall right now. Maybe Zechariah wants them to focus on their limited resources on building the temple and don't worry about the wall yet. And here the vision says Jerusalem should be like a village, meaning an open country without walls. So the guy holding the measuring line should go back. And there's no, because there's no need to measure the perimeter. There's no need to build the wall. Why? Because God will be their wall, says the Lord. "And I will be to her," meaning the city, "a wall of fire all around," declares the Lord. "And I will be the glory in her midst." So God will be her wall of fire, which is more effective. It's probably invisible, but more effective than any concrete physical wall. And here comes the warning. "Up, up, flee from the land of the north," declares the Lord, "for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens," declares the Lord. This is a recital of the history. Israelites have been scattered, exiled, because of God's punishment. But now they should flee from where? From the land of the north. What does it mean? Here's the answer. "Up, escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon." The north, the land of the north, refers to Babylon. Babylon is going to be punished. So by this time, a lot of Israelites had returned to Jerusalem. But it's speculated that many had decided to remain in Babylon. Because they, after all, they have been exiled there, living there for 70 years. So maybe they have got used to it, they have settled down, and they don't want to come back. But now God is warning them, "Now I have finished my judgment on Israel, and you guys should return to Zion, to Jerusalem, because I'm going to judge and punish Babylon." Because even though Babylon, remember Babylon was the tool used by God to judge Israel, but Babylon had overdone it. Now it's Babylon's turn to receive the judgment. "Further, says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." The apple of his eye means, in original Hebrew, the gate of his eye, meaning the pupils. Right? So what happens when someone touches your pupils? Right? You will have a strong reflex, right? You don't like it. It's the most vulnerable, most sensitive of your body part. And it's most precious, most valuable. So here God says, God shows his love and compassion for Israel in this verse. Israel to God is like the apple of his eye, the most precious, vulnerable, and sensitive part of God. If you imagine God as a person. So these people who had plundered Israel now will suffer the consequences of their crimes. Behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who serve them. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. So the plunderers will become plundered. They will suffer the consequence of their sin, overjudging, overpunishing Israel. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Again, God is giving more promises to give them more assurance of security. They should feel safe coming back to Zion because Jerusalem will not be plundered again, because now it's Babylon's turn to be plundered, and they should leave that dangerous place. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Not just the new Jerusalem, according to Zechariah, on that day, indefinitely, we don't know, it's not specified here, so we don't know which day it will be, but according to Zechariah, in the future, this new Jerusalem will be inhabited not only by Jews, but also by other nations. I think as Christians, we can certainly echo this message. If you see the new Jerusalem as the new church, if you see the true Israel as those who have put their faith in God through Jesus Christ. And the Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. So God has regretted his choosing, but now he will choose the Holy Land, the Jerusalem, Judah again, as his own possession. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. So you see the motion here, you see the dynamic. Now God's aroused to leave his holy dwelling and to come down to this holy land and to take Judah as his possession. So this is the end of the chapter. We have a very dynamic picture given by Zechariah. So today I want to talk about a few things. First thing I want to talk about is God's punishment. As we just read, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. God basically had allowed both Israel and Judah to be scattered. Why? If you remember, we have covered 10 minor prophets, so you should have remembered the message, right? Because they sinned. Because think about how many prophets were covered, including Zechariah, is I think 11. God has sent so many prophets to warn them to do the right thing, and they ignore the warning, and therefore they suffer the punishment. We have over and over heard this message. I think we are all clear about it. The second thing I'll talk about is God's warning. But God will always give us a way out after we suffer the punishment. Here's the warning to Israel. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord. Why? The land of the Lord refers to Babylon. And another message here, another warning here. Up, escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. Because the Babylonian Empire will be judged, will be punished. So those who found false security there in that city shall flee. What does it mean to us? God often warns us of the coming danger. Have you ever been warned by God when you step into some unknown danger? Think about this question. Few stories to say about God's warning. Because in my life, I hope in your life too, God is a real thing. God's living and God warns his people. Some of these stories are kind of embarrassing, so I don't want to share. I can share this though. When I first became a believer, and that was back in 1999, and I was baptized in Chicago. So that summer, because I was in business school, so I went back to to Asia to join a consulting firm, and as a new Christian. Yeah, so this consulting firm has multiple offices in Asia. So all the new recruits, all the new interns, we went on. They sent us on a trip to Thailand, some kind of offsite meeting, some kind of retreat. So we went and we have some time sightseeing, and went to this temple. You know, Thailand has many temples. This famous temple, you know, in Bangkok has this huge Buddha, golden Buddha in a temple, and I have a whole bunch of Japanese, Korean coworkers, and I guess they're Buddhists. And they went to a temple. They bow down. Actually, they kneel down and they worship that Buddha. And I was there, standing there, thinking maybe I shouldn't do this. You know, I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know much about the teaching, the doctrines, and I just feel like, you know, if I believe in Jesus, I shouldn't worship this thing. So I didn't bow down. I said, oh, maybe I just go out and take a walk. So next to the temple, there are a few pagodas on the side. So they look interesting. You know, they look like kind of Thai shrines. So I tried to walk in there. Now this is when the funny thing happened. I tried to get in. So there's a small gate to each shrine. So I entered the gate, and immediately I smelled something really bad, like a dead animal, like a dead cat, basically a dead body. I couldn't go in because it smelled so bad. It stinked. So I said, oh, I immediately withdrew. And I came out and said, oh, this is maybe just dirty, right? Some dead things there. And I saw people going in. Like all the tourists, all the other tourists, they just keep going in. You know, like nobody was bothered. I was the only one. I feel like, how can I be the only one smelling this? So I said, maybe something wrong with my nose. So I tried to go in again. So I tried to get in, and as soon as I step into that gate, that entrance, I smell that dead fish, whatever that is, and I wanted to throw up. The second time, I almost threw up. So I said, you know, I don't want to throw up here, so there's no point. I mean, I don't want to pay the price. I mean, it's going to be messy if I throw up there. So I turned around, and I came out. Still, I saw other people going in. So that's just one weird thing, and I never understood. Looking back after being a Christian for so many years, I understood now the Spirit doesn't want me to go in there. It could be a shrine that I've been left and offering sacrifices, or whatever thing they did there that's abhorrent to God. And the Spirit who lives in me just doesn't want to go in there. And this is just one example. There are multiple times in my life when I unwittingly get into some troubles or danger, doing something I'm not supposed to do, saying things I'm not supposed to say. There's a warning. There's always a warning for me. Either from the scripture, or from the church, or from my boss, or from people I don't know about, from believers and non-believers. Somehow there's a warning sent my way. So I encourage you to be sensitive to God's warning. And for those of you who are hearing the recording right now, because this message will be recorded, that I want you to think about. Have you ignored God's warning for certain things? Because God does warn us. But God does warn us. And why? And next, because He loves us. Right? The title of today's sermon, we are the apple of His eyes. We are the most sensitive, vulnerable, and precious part of God. So something bad happened to us, it bothers God. Pretty much like a parent looking at his children or her children. Sometimes they are very annoying. But anything bad happened to them, it hurts. Right? So you don't want to see that. Your 3-year-old baby walking toward the traffic, you know, toward all these cars on the road, would you not dash and pull him or pull her back? You can see the danger coming, and you will try to warn that child. Same thing God feels for us. God loves us. So when we get into danger, God will tell us and warn us. And how do you identify these warnings? Sometimes from the pastor, from me. Sometimes when I see you doing something not right, I will tell you. Sometimes from the church. Sometimes from the people closest to you. Sometimes from your parents. Sometimes from your spouses. sometimes from your children, sometimes just from people around you. And you need to verify. Right? Look here. The message, up, 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 three times. God, you often, when he has something to tell us, he will send multiple people. Or he will send us multiple, same message, but multiple times, to confirm that it is from him. So, for example, if you hear some warnings from elders, or from me, from the pastor, and you don't like it, that's fine. And I encourage you to verify with other people in the church. Do other people in the church feel the same way? Do people who love you the most feel the same way? You need to verify the warning. You need to verify the message. If you feel the warning, the message is true, is real enough, and I think you and I probably should take notice and avoid the danger. So that's the second thing I want to talk about. The third thing is God's protection. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. If you are familiar with the story of Exodus, you remember when they came out of Egypt, they were on the edge of Red Sea. The Egyptians were chasing them, right? And they were scared. And suddenly there appeared a pillar of fire separating them from the Egyptian armies. Now God protected them in the form of fire. Fire means God's protection. It suggests God's power. But many of us know that God, fire also means God's holiness. It connotes God's holiness. And that's important. There's another verse I want to share with you, Deuteronomy 23:14. Can we read this verse together? Let's read. Because this is important, right? You want the holy God in protection. You want that holy fire surrounding you like a wall to protect you from evil. You have to be holy. We have to be holy. Whatever happens in our household, whatever happens in our personal life, it has to be holy. Even though sometimes other people don't see it, yesterday I went to retreat on the side. The church, the pastors, the speakers were talking about why so many pastors fall. So many pastors had bad endings. A lot of pastors don't finish well. Why? They forgot the importance of being holy. They did something they thought nobody could see it, but God can see everything. It's important to be holy. It's important to do the right things, even though when no one is around, because God can always see us. And we don't want the Holy God to see some unclean things that, or unclean things we do or say in our life so that he turns away from us and we lose our protection. No, we don't want that to happen. We are the apple of his eyes. He who touches you touches the apple of his eye. God is not happy when people do evil to us. And God is also not happy when we do evil to people. God is most unhappy when we do evil to ourselves. Again, if you're a parent, you should know this. Other kids, they don't behave. It doesn't bother you that much. But when your own kids don't behave, it bothers you a lot. Because you love them more than anyone else. Same thing for God. We are his beloved. We are the apple of his eyes. Bad things happening to us hurts his eyes. Bad things we're doing to other people hurts his eyes too. And we should be aware of his warning. We should be aware of his holiness. We should be aware of his presence. Let us pray. Father God, when it's hard not to get depressed these days watching the news, because we can just see so much evil happening around the world. It seems like there's no safe place. We just came from Hong Kong 2 years ago, and now Hong Kong has a lot of riots. And we settled down in this country, U.S., and we have mass shootings. in Gilroy, so close to us. It seems that there is danger. It seems that we just cannot find security in anything that we can see or feel or touch. But we know that, according to your holy word, the only security lies in you. There's really no safe place but in you. And we trust that you will always protect us. You will always help us shun evil and avoid danger. So give us a sensitive heart to avoid dangerous places, to avoid dangerous people, to keep holy, to be mindful of our personal walk with you, to be mindful of our personal holiness, so that we can always find favor with you and receive your guidance, your warning, and your protection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For the offering. Dear God, thank you for blessing us. I thank you that you've given us so much that we have enough, Lord. I ask that you would open our hearts that we can give to you freely and gladly. And may you bless the offering, that we as a church would use it well for your kingdom.